Hallelujah. So that video stirs up so many emotions, right? As you're looking at that, I mean, I'm not a crier. Most movies, but this started stirring up like tears, you know? And it's just because it is. God gives us this gift, and that's what God is going to speak to us today about. These gifts that he gives us that can seem so insignificant, but yet, if we continue to endure and allow the Lord to do his work, those gifts can change the world, right? You know, you saw the Roman Empire had come and gone, but the word that Jesus left, the healing, the power that Jesus left still remains, right? And he came in a manger, right? So praise God. You know, this is, you know, it's kind of strange for me to be doing a Christmas Eve service as a Sunday service. I'm used to, every year so far it's been tradition that at OCF I do Christmas Eve, because that was how I started my journey, I guess, you know, preaching is that, and a Christmas Eve service. But so this is kind of a little strange for me to be doing it on a Sunday, but praise God, you know. It's been a busy month. You can always guarantee that when the Lord is calling you to something, there's going to be a standard that's going to be measured or pushed against you, right? I started just a new job the start of this month, and everyone knows a new job is just time. At the start, everything is just, one of my boss kind of put it this way, he says, it's like you're drinking from a fire hydrant, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's just coming, rushing at you at a million miles an hour, and you've got to, and the expectation is that I'd be up and running, you know, as soon as possible, right? So all that was going on, and in this week alone, there's been just so much going on. Wednesday night, Sarah came in from Virginia, or from Texas, actually, praise God, great to have her in the house with us for Christmas, but, you know, that was 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning when I got home. I'd be back up for 5 o'clock for actual work, right? then last night I was up till I think 1 o'clock in the morning almost wrapping gifts, you know? So I'm like, Lord, there's so many times, not just last night, but there's so many times as I've been walking with the Lord and I'm like, you know, whether it be a Wednesday night, whether I'm in Monday night prayer or coming, preparing for a sermon, I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I gotta back out. You know, I can't. I've got all this going on, and you know, every time, every single time, without fail, you're right. He turns and goes, "You're right. You can't." You know, and at first, that's always like the first time I heard that was like a jarring response, right? Because okay, so you giving me leave to just back out, but he reminds me right at that very instant that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? And that's where my strength comes from. That's what I have to remember. That's what we have to remember, especially during Christmas, right? We don't have to celebrate Christmas as a Christian, right? We choose to celebrate Christmas, right? So we can't do it like the world does it. We have to do it in a way that is honoring unto God. We are taking time aside to recognize the birth of our Savior. Sorry. But the birth of our Savior, right? He came to earth. We are celebrating that, right? And we can't do it any other way except in a way that is going to be honoring unto God, right? But the one great thing I love that when God tells me that I can do all things through Christ, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, he says it to you too, it's so disarming for the enemy. Because the enemy will come and tell me the same thing, you can't do that. And I can now turn around and say, you're right, I can't. But go tell God that he can't do it through me. You know, and that's disarming to the enemy because he knows that he has no ground there, right? He cannot use that against God because God can do all things through me, right? As long as I just show up, God can use me, right? And that's the same thing for each one of us. So with that, I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer and then we'll get into the word. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning, oh Father God. I thank you for preparing this message for each one of us, oh Father God. I ask, oh Lord God, that you deliver this message through me, oh Father God, that you would hide me behind your cross today, oh Father God, that you would deliver a message, oh Lord God, that's powerful, that would pierce the hearts of each one of us, oh Father God, that you would open our ears, our mind, our eyes, Lord, so we'll be able to see, hear, and comprehend all that you have for us today, oh Father, that you would change hearts and minds with your words today, that every word would be saturated in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and each of our hearings would also be anointed of the Holy Spirit, so we would comprehend the message you have for each one of us this morning. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So praise God. Get the clicker out. So the title of this message is Perfect Gifts, Perfectly Given, right? Gifts in a manger, right? And I really want to kind of preface this by saying, if when Jesus came, God had sent out a poll, right? And asked people what they needed to deliver them. The Jewish people, right? If he asked them, what do you need for me to do to relieve you of your current situation? There is no way they would have chose Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There is no way that Jesus would have been the answer as far as they were concerned. And what I want to talk this morning about is there's so many things that God gives, and there are gifts in our lives that don't look like gifts to us, right? But if we endure, if we continue to press in and say, Lord, what is this? What is this that you put in my life? What is it that what am I supposed to do with this, right? Those who pressed in around Jesus, you know, deliver and are still delivering messages to us today. Paul is still delivering messages. James is still delivering messages. I use them in my screen, in preparation for this message, you know what I'm saying? So God is still delivering messages through those who pressed in and who pressed in to the gift that he sent for that time. There were those who only wanted to see the miracles. There were those who only wanted to see the wow factor. But there were those who sought after Jesus. And that's where we have to be. Then, that gift that God has given each one of us, as we endure, it may not look like a gift. And I'm going to go through a very small snippet of people in the Bible. You know, there's a plethora of them that actually, look, they got a gift. You know, you could call it a calling or a promise, whatever it is, but it's a gift from God, right? And it didn't look like a gift initially to them, right? So as we go through this, right, this morning, you know, the gift, the biblical reference is a gift men give to men, right? So that's what we do today, or birthdays or whatever, right? Or even during the week, during the year, as we gift our services one to another, right? As we help each other out, right? Or a sacrificial offering presented to God, right? We come, we give our tithe, we give our services, we give whatever it is unto God, right? But this one, I love this, gifts God gives to men, especially in connection with salvation, righteousness, and his grace. These are the gifts I want to speak of today. These are the gifts I want to draw our attention today, because God gave us a gift. And that is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating a gift that God gave us, that gave us life. You know, you would not have life today outside of Jesus Christ and the gift that he brought to this earth. He didn't have to. He didn't have to, he wanted to. He loved us that much that he wanted to give of himself this gift to each one of us, right? Sorry about that. What? Went too far. So the secular definition. And they're both applicable. That's why I put the secular also in here. A notable capacity, talent, or endowment. Something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation, right? But I like this. The act, the right, or power of giving, right? God has the power, right? He has the right, right? And he does the action of giving, right? So each one of those, God gives us gifts. Right? And we have to understand. The only way we're going to understand that, though, is by being in the presence of God. Sitting with him and saying, Lord, what is it that you've given to me? Why is my life the way it is? Why is this obstacle, what might appear like an obstacle, why is that in my life right now, right? But God will show us that they are not obstacles. They are gifts in our life that if we press in to God through those obstacles, God will create wondrous things out of those situations, right? So, Abraham, right? God's promise of a son and a nation that would match the stars in number, right? Abraham was, I think, over 100 when he actually had his son, right? And he was promised, he took him out and said, look at these stars, right? They would be all of your offspring, right? And yet Abraham pressed in. He had to wait 20-something years for the fulfillment of that promise, but he pressed in, right? And then when he got Isaac, right, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac on an altar to him, and Abraham was obedient, right? And God has, it's still that Abrahamic covenant that has developed us. We are sons of Abraham, you know what I'm saying? We are sons and daughters of Abraham. So God is still remembering the covenant he made with Abraham even then, right? And Abraham pressed in. It didn't seem like a gift at that point, right? But Abraham had to press in. And you know, so many of us, we get this vision or this call from God, and it doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. And we're like, I must have heard, must not have heard from God. And the enemy will come and tell you, you didn't hear from God. That was just you. But we need to press in. If you're in your prayer closet and you hear God speaking to you, bring a fleece. Continue to persevere until you are sure that God says, no, that was just for that moment, or yes, that is still to be fulfilled. God will answer that call, right? And Moses was told to lead God's people to the land promised to Abraham, right? Just picture this. Abraham, or Moses, right, had killed a Gentile or Jewish person, right? Fled out to actually, or he also, or sorry, he killed a Egyptian soldier, and he fled, right? And he was here just tending sheep, right? And he sees this burning bush. And that's how it's taught in the Bible. And he looks. And when God sees him paying attention to the bush, then God calls him, right? And God says, I want you to go. And God makes it seem so simple, so plain. But Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court. Moses knew what would happen to someone who came and made demands such as these from Pharaoh, right? So fear gripped Moses, right? But Moses still persisted. And look what happened. You know, God brought millions of Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, into what was meant to be a land flowing of honey, right? Milk and honey. And they eventually got there, but not by Moses, right? Joshua was now took over, right? But still, Moses persisted, and they did get to see that promise fulfilled, right? And not sure why it's not working. All right, there it is. Was that? Yeah, that's it. Okay. So Zechariah was promised a son to make straight the way, for the coming Messiah, right? So Zechariah went in. He just was doing his regular priestly duty. And an angel showed up. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I go into my prayer closet to come before the Lord, and I'm met with an angel. You know, that would just be an experience beyond. I don't even know what I would do. You know, but Zechariah, you know, is obviously struck by fear, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid." You know, but and he tells him everything's going to happen, right? And Zechariah initially doubts, right? But he continues to persist and believe in the word of God, even though his voice is taken from him, right? And we see that John the Baptist grows up to be the actual forerunner for Christ, right? And prepares the way for Christ, right? And you know, this is again, I'm just showing you that point for Zechariah, that didn't seem like a gift to him, right? Because he was struck dumb, right? His wife, Elizabeth, right, was old in her age. So I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that was going on in him. Like, how can this even be? Like, what's going to happen? Medically even, right? Is this even safe, right? All these things must have been going on in his mind, right? But yet, he persisted and pursued God and allowed God's purposes to be fulfilled, right? And again, I love this. Mary was promised she would give birth to a son who would be the Messiah, right? Now, initially, that must have been overwhelming for her, right? She's a teenager. In those days, you were stoned if you were pregnant out of wedlock, right? So there was all of these things that could have initially been caused fear in her, but she said, no, let it be done to me according to thy will, right? And submitted to God's will. And then she had to live that out. Imagine you being the mother that was raising the Son of God. And you knew that it was the Son of God. God very clearly explained to her. She may not have understood everything, but she knew that this child was a child that was set aside for the purposes of God, right? And she was raising the child. So all the way up to Jesus' adulthood, there must have been times in Mary's life that caused, well, am I doing this right? Even now, as parents, we wonder, am I doing this right? Am I messing my child up? Am I doing it right? Whatever, right? Can you imagine Mary? But she persisted. She persisted in loving Jesus, in continuing to be with God, and she continued even into Jesus' ministry, right? And Joseph, now Joseph was told how he needed to support Mary, right? And again, I can't even imagine Joseph initially, right? Mary tells him, well, I'm pregnant, but I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You know? I mean, I don't know. I would have a hard time believing that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just saying. That's just me personally, you know? And I think Joseph initially had a hard time believing that too, right? But the angel came to him. And when the angel came and Joseph heard the word of God and he got the promise from God and he got this gift from God to be able to believe in what God was doing, Joseph was steadfast the rest of the way, right? And God's work was accomplished, right? And that's, we have to remember that, that God will do this. And I'm going to go to take a little bit more time to go through this next story, and it's the story of David. Because I kind of can relate a little bit to David's, not to David himself, but to this portion, right? And not even here where he's anointed king, but, no, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but him being a shepherd boy out in the field, right? I can kind of relate, right? But David, he was anointed king as a teenager over the entire land that God had promised Abraham. Now remember, he promised it to Abraham. Moses was given the promise to lead the people into that land. Now, none of it, you know, even at that point, it hadn't been realized. Joshua didn't realize that now David is being given a gift to lead the people in that land, right? And what happens to David, right? So he's anointed king. He gets this gift from God. And he goes and sits on the throne. No, there's a lot that happens between that time and the time that David eventually sits on the throne. And even after he's sitting on the throne, they try to abdicate. His own son tries to overthrow him, right? But I want to focus on this piece, right, of David's story, I guess, if you will, 1 Samuel 16:4-13, right? So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" And the reason they were asking if he comes in peace was because Samuel had just got word from God that he had to tell Saul that God's anointing was removed from him, right? And and everybody knew that was Samuel's next journey, there. And he was afraid for his life that Saul was going to kill him, right? So they're saying, they're even wondering what's going to happen here, you know? So they're asking, are you coming in peace? Are you coming to actually, you know, cause a stirring here, and it's all going to start just going to war with all of, do we have to pick sides? Do we have to pick sides with Saul, or do we have to pick sides with you and trust what the Lord is doing, right? So that's their question, right? And he said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now no one else knows yet what's going on, but Samuel has got a word from God that it is one of Jesse's sons that will be the next king of Israel, right? And when they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And again, you know, this is the heart of man, right? We look and we're like, "Oh wow, yeah, that looks like God," right? And God's like, "No," right? He's like, "But the Lord said, Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And again, this is, I really want to bring us back to this, because when God gives us that gift, right, what is your heart saying? What is your heart saying to God at that point? "Lord, I'm willing. I don't know how it's going to get done. I have no clue how you're going to accomplish this. But I'm willing. I'm willing to show up. I'm willing to put my next step forward and trust you that you will continue to make the way," right? And that is where we need to be. Not just at Christmas. But, I think that Christmas should be the Christian's new year, right? This should be the start of our new year, right? This is the time where we stop, we reflect, and now we start a new one afresh, right? And as we stop and reflect at all that God has done over the last year, we look back and say, "Lord, where was my heart over this last year? Was my heart consecrated to you? Was all that you gave me at the start of the year something that I pursued, or did I lose sight? Did somehow I get derailed? Did the enemy somehow, cause me to lose sight of the calling you had on my life, or the gift that you gave me at the start of this year?" And we can do that because God's grace is new and fresh every morning. But then as we look towards the future, "Lord, what are you giving me a gift for now? What is your gifting that you have given me?" Each one of us has got a gift. Each one of us has a gift from God that God wants us to pursue. He didn't save us just to sit back. He saved us unto works that were established beforehand that we would walk in, right? So that sounds like a gift that God has already prepared for us and says, now go ahead, walk in this gifting, right? And we have to know what that is. Otherwise, we're walking around aimless as Christians, right? And now we can be taken and tossed back and forth by any wind or wave of doctrine, right? But if our mindset is on God and the gifts that he has given us, individual gifts, right? Now we will have, our mindset would be, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this, but I know you can. My heart is set on you, Lord. My mind is set on you. My purpose is set on you. I will trust in you. And that's David. That's where David was. David was in the field. David was in the field. We haven't even got to it yet, but and I'm going ahead of myself, but I'm just so excited about it. David was in the field, right? And, you know, he was praising God. He's writing psalms, and he's praising God as a shepherd boy. God saw his heart and said, this heart I can use. This heart will submit. Now, David wasn't perfect. God didn't need him to be perfect. God needed his heart to be submitted to him, right? But then Jesse called and Abinadab and made him pass for Samuel, and he said, Lord has not chosen this one either, and continues on. Next, Jesse said, Shammah passed by, and he said, Lord has not chosen this one either. Thus, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said, Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these, right? But Samuel, you see, this is what I love. Samuel knows. He's like, wait a sec. Lord told me that you have a son that I'm supposed to anoint. There's got to be another one somewhere, you know? It's not like, well, maybe I misheard from God. He goes, no. God told me clearly. Where's your other son? You know? He doesn't stop and say, well, you know, maybe I didn't hear right from God. Because Samuel is in that place of sitting before God and hearing God. Right? And as we, and once we get that word from God, we will have that same confidence. We will arrive at something and say, well, it's not here, God. The provision is not here. All right, where is it, Lord? Show me where the provision is, you know? And then we will go look for the provision, not doubting the call God has, or the gifting God has given us, but asking, Lord, all right, Lord, you call me to this. Where's the provision? You call me to where? And then we will have a trust, and God will see that heart, and that provision will be made once we get there, right? And that's where faith comes in. That's where God wants us to have a heart, a trust him, that even though I may look and say, well, I don't know, it looks like a desert to me, but I'm going to walk in there and trust that God will make, you know, the water available when I hit a rock. He will make the quails come from heaven. He will make the manna come from heaven. He will make available what I need, right? But if we start doubting, right, God cannot work with that heart. Because what we're saying is, not that I can't do it, but what we're saying is, Lord, I don't think you can do this. Lord, I'm here, but listen, I don't know. I guess you just can't do this, right? That's really what we're saying in our heart, and God doesn't want. And that's not something that we can confess that before God. His grace is still new and fresh. He doesn't condemn us. But our response should be, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I don't know, I couldn't believe you for this, but Lord, I want to. I want to. Grow me into that place. Teach me how to walk in that. Teach me how to have that trust and that faith in you, right? And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring forth, for we will not sit down until he comes here. Right? Samuel is on a mission. He's not saying, all right, you know what? As soon as David gets here, we he knows this is the time that he is on God's time, right? And that is the same thing for us. There is times in our life when God allows us to sit and eat and sit and rest. But there are times also that God is saying, this is my time. This is my time. I need you to not sit until I have completed my work. I want you to continue to press forward until I have committed my work. Trust that if you're tired, I'll give you the energy. Trust that if you're in pain, I will relieve you of that pain. Trust if you doubt, I will give you the ability to trust me, right? We have to enter into that relationship with God, right? And that's what Samuel is. I don't care. Bring him. If it takes all, he's out to the field. He could, and the way they tended sheep back then was, wherever pasture was, they brought the sheep to it. So David could have been a half day's journey away, you know what I'm saying? But Saul's like, you know what? Or Samuel's like, I don't care. We're not sitting down until he shows up, because that's why I'm here. I'm not here for any other purpose except to anoint the next king of Israel. I'm here to do what God has called me to do. And we need to have that same fervency about the work that God is calling us to, right? So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beauty and eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Right? And again, he was ruddy with beautiful eyes. And you know, it doesn't say it here, but David was he wasn't as tall, if you will, as all of his brothers. I don't think he was a short man either, but he wasn't as tall, we say, as Saul was, right? But he was ruddy. He was, you know, he looked like, I guess, a guy that was in, you know, I think the guy that's out in the field, right? And he brought him in, and God wasn't looking at a stately person. He was like, this is not, I don't care about his appearance. That's the heart that I can use. That is the heart, like that is the heart that I have seen worship me. That is the heart that I have seen when he is out in the fields. His mind is not distracted on other things. His mind is set on me. And that's where we need to be, right? Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Right? One thing I realized is Samuel never sat and ate. He did God's work and left, right? Because he knew that was his purpose. His purpose to do. And I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that we have to be, our mindset, we have to get to that place of having our minds set on God, right? And not get distracted by other things. It's easy to get distracted. There's so many distractions that are around us all the time. But God is calling us to not be distracted by that which he is doing in our lives. And then the gift that he has given us, or you can call it a calling, whatever it is. I see it as a gift. There's a gift. It may not look like a gift, but that gift is that God is going to grow you. God is going to mature you. God is going to cause you to deepen in your faith. God is going to cause you to be able to trust him all the more. That is a gift from God, right? Because that is not something we can do on our own. But as God gives us this gift, and we start unwrapping this gift and say, Lord, I don't even know what to do with this, but I'm going to walk. I'll take the next step and trust that you would provide what I need, right? All right. So again, in 1 Samuel 16, 14, 13, I'm skipping down a little bit. He says, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And so this, just to give you like a preface, I guess, David was anointed king. Right? Here he is, this teenage boy coming from the sheep, from herding sheep, from sitting with the sheep. And this prophet, this man of God, as he knows to be a man of God, comes and anoints him, right? Everybody knew that Saul had lost God's anointing, right? It was, I'm sure, because even as Samuel was coming, they were like, do you come in peace? Or are you coming to stir everything up here, right? I don't know if David knew or not. David was out in the fields. I don't know if he knew or not, but even still, here's David. Can you imagine a prophet coming to you, anointing you with oil, and says, and all your brothers were bypassed at this point, and he says that God has anointed you to be king over Israel, right? There is such a temptation for pride to set in, or expectation of grandeur to set in. He's the king, like that. This is the king. He's not saying, I'm anointing you to run your household. I'm anointing you to see over your brothers. He's saying, I'm anointing you king over all of Israel. Right? There is such a temptation for pride to set in, right? But watch what happens next, right? Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servants then said to him, behold now, an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player of the harp. And it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you that he shall play the harp with his hand and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the youngest men said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. So David is now anointed king, and he is taken to the palace, right? But he's not taken there as king. He's taken there as a servant to the king, right? How many of us get a calling from God, and God says, yes, I call you to this, But I'm going to start you off as a servant to that person. And you'll have to endure that person throwing javelins at you. And you're going to have to endure that person chasing you around the whole countryside trying to kill you. You're even going to have to endure me opening up opportunities for you to actually kill this man and not be allowed to do so because he's still God's anointed, right? How many of us are willing to go down that road with God? How many of us look at that calling or that gift that God gives us, and when we start seeing that, we're like, no, that can't be from God. God called me to be king. He doesn't want me to be a servant. He doesn't want me to play music for this king that he's going to throw javelins at me, right? But still, David understood the heart of God. His heart, and he said that David is a man after my own heart, right? David humbled himself. And that's where God wants us. And that is the same gift he gave us 2023 years ago, right? When Jesus came into this world and changed it from BC to AD, right? he changed time itself, right? And how we look at time, right? Before everything that was before Christ and everything since Christ, right? That's how we look at things now, especially for the Christian. The world may not recognize it that way, but that's how we look at it, right? And with that, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to the calling that he had, even to death on a tree, right? Even though he knew what the scripture said about those who would be hung on a tree. They say, cursed is every man who was hung on a tree, right? But Jesus knew everything that would be taught of him, right? And if you follow Jesus, yes, all the glamour, the miracles, the healing of the sick, all of this stuff, all that glamour, yes, that looked great. But when he was washing his apostles' feet, did it look the same? When he was in the street with the beggar, when he was touching a leper, did people want that same calling? When Jesus was about to go and drink the cup and take on the sins of the entire world, think of that. One sin in the garden caused the fall of mankind, right? And every sin since then heaped up. Jesus took on the wrath of God for every single one of those. Can you imagine it? The beatings that he took, they were nothing. The nailing to the cross, they were nothing to him. He knew the cup of wrath that he would have to drink that would be poured out for every single sin that you and I and our generations before and generations to come will ever commit. Jesus said, I will take the suffering for that. I will suffer in their stead. I will take on, a person who does not receive Jesus, their sin sends them to hell, right? And I just want to pause for a second. If you are not saved, if you're watching, if you're here with us, if you're watching online, this is an awesome time to hear this, right? I'm not saying that you're going to hell, but that Jesus sends you to hell. What I'm saying is that in your sinful state, that is the only destination that is available to you. Jesus has taken on all of that. He came here for that very purpose, to drink that cup and to take on the punishment for your sins. All he wants for you to do is submit. Submit and say, Lord, I realize. And then ask God to come into your heart. Ask God to come into your life. And with that heart, just as he saw David's heart, he'll see your heart. And then he will answer that prayer. Just as he saw Cornelius' heart and St. Peter, he will send someone to you and bring you to that place where you get the free gift of salvation, right? And I just really wanted to put that in there because this is a time where we should be out there delivering a message of salvation. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is salvation for the Jew and the Gentile. That's what this gift is to us. It's so much more than that. But at its very base, at its very root, that's what the gift of Jesus is. Right? And we need to walk in that. It's easy to say that, but is it easy to walk up to your neighbor, to your co-worker, and actually speak to them with the love of Christ in your heart that would bring them to a place of wanting to actually accept and receive Jesus as their Lord? That's the gift that we have to walk out. That is the gifting that God has given each one of us to make disciples of each nation. And he's given to each one of us differently. But we have to walk it out, right? And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David his son, right? So not only was David going to the castle, right, to serve the king and have javelins and spears thrown at him and be chased all over the place, but he was going and bringing an offering to the king to do this to him. You know what I'm saying? I just think of what is going on. Like in our lives, how much pride do we build up in our lives? Say, no, that can't be for me. God cannot mean for me to stoop that low. God did it himself. You know, he did it himself. So yes, he can expect that from every one of us. But we can only get to that place if we're truly in a place of trusting God, in communication with God, and know that when we do go to that place of what the world would consider stooping low, God would see it as an elevation. Because God saw David as king. David was king from that point forward. And God saw David as a king, right? And even as we humble ourselves before God, and if that pride can be cast off, and we can, you know, even debase ourselves, if you will, according to the world, God will see it as a place of exaltation, right? And that's what matters. What God sees is what matters, not what man sees, right? And the only way that we can have confidence to walk in that is if we're in that relationship with God. If we're sitting beside God and know the Father and the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, if we know that, then we will be able to go to those depths and say, it doesn't matter because God's grace will go with me. God's love is going with me. God will protect me from anything that I may suffer there, right? God will protect me from it, you know? And then David said, came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer, right? And we see that then Saul sent Jesse saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight, right? So it came about, whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and would be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Right? So we've gone through all that already, but just think of that, right? As David, you know, David had to walk this out. We're reading a one-time script. David had to show up at that palace every day. Watch the evil spirit come over Saul, right? Start playing the harp. See the evil spirit depart from Saul, right? But then also see the anger of Saul turn toward him, right? As jealousy took over. But David showed up the next day to do the same thing again, even though he was anointed to be king and knew that God had taken his spirit from Saul. Just think about that. I mean, think about that. You know that God has removed that person, technically, right? Because they have been disobedient to God, or they have gone outside of the parameters of God's direction, right? And God has anointed you to be that person who takes their place. But you show up every day and still serve under that person and keep a pure heart before God. That is a walk. That is only the grace of God that can bring you through that. That is only the love of God. That is only a heart that is submitted to God that can do that and still love that person and still say, I will not lay a finger on that man because he is God's anointed. Right? That's beyond, I mean, as we think about that, that is beyond our ability to really comprehend. But as we get put in these situations, I encourage you this year, as you go through your life, as you go through your situations, do not exalt yourself beyond that which God has not called you to. You know what I'm saying? But allow God to bring you to a place of humility so that we can actually serve those who are around us. Knowing that in that place, God will exalt us, right? That we may, in the world's eyes, seem small, but in God's eyes, we will be kings and queens, right? And that's what matters. That is what our hearts can be set on, right? And as we go through that, you know, we will be encouraged more and more. We'll be able to believe more and more. We'll want to enter into that place even more and more. Because when you experience the grace and the love and the mercy of God, that is addictive. But there's nothing wrong with that addiction. That is a good addiction to have. That is a good, if that is an addiction that you come to me with, I'll continue to pray with you that you receive more and more of that addiction. You know, because that is an awesome addiction to have, to want to serve the Almighty God, to want to be humble before men, to be exalted by God, right? That is an awesome addiction to have. And we need to have addictions to that rather than all the other things that we become addicted to in this world. If we can turn our focus to God, right? And allow God. And this Daniel fast is coming is a great way to start presenting ourselves to God at the start of this year, right? Humble yourself before God and say, Lord, prepare me now. My heart is turned to you. Show me and give me the gift for this coming year and allow me to walk in it, right? So we know, and I just put these in. I know we already know this, but I just want to really, hammer this home, I guess, that every good gift, every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows, right? So if there is something good in your life, God gave it to you. If there's question about it being good, put your fleece before God, right? Because the enemy will try and veil himself as an angel of light, right? So we have to test every spirit, yes. But once you have, come before God and say, Lord, show me. And then the Lord shows you and you are actually secure and it lines up with Scripture. Then know that that gift is a perfect gift from God and he will sustain you through the whole thing. And not just sustain you, but many others will be blessed. As we saw in all those other, excerpts from Scripture, right? And there were only a few. We could go through so many of them. But there were only a few excerpts. But many, generations even, after you, will be blessed because of your faithfulness now, right? And as each one has received a special gift, employed in service, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Again, use those gifts to serve one another, right? And I'm going to close with this, and there's a video after this, but I just want to, and I'm going to go through it relatively quick, just read through it, and just do a quick synopsis, right? But now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. Now, people can use the words, but their heart will not be declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit, right? And there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the words of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. And that's what I really want to focus on, right? Because we so often focus on those giftings, and we say, I must have one of those, right? Did you wake up this morning? That was a gift this morning to you. Do you have breath in your lungs? That is a gift from God. Do you have abilities in your body? That is a gift from God. So yes, these are gifts that are used in the church. These are gifts that are used in the ministry, right? But there are gifts all over the place. This is not an exhaustive list. This is a list that is specialized for a purpose. But there are gifts all over the place that the Holy Spirit is giving out at will. And he wants us to walk in them. He wants us to share with each other. He wants us to build each other up. He wants us to realize that Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, who came 2,023 years ago, gave us a gift of life. And he grown our ability to trust the Lord more and more and more, and generations will be blessed beyond us, right? And even still, there may even be times when they're looking back and saying, wow, I remember in OCGF on such and such a year, and this happened in my life, right? I remember how my parent or my sibling or someone came to watch Acts of Salvation, and this is what they accomplished, right? That's what's happening as you read the scriptures. You know, these men are still being ministered through to us. God is still using the words he gave them to minister to us. I had to go back to these to actually hear from God for this message. So let God allow that gift to be developed in you. Do not let anything get in the way of that. Persevere and allow that gift to come through. So I'm just going to wait and then let this video play through. And if you want to play that video. There you go. Right.
Why?
Why?
Why did Jesus come to earth?
Why forsake the majesty and fellowship of heaven?
Exchanging a palace for a stable.
Immortal comforts for a feeding trough.
And robes of glory for the feeble body of an infant.
An unparalleled irony, this supreme, unrivaled nobility experiencing absolute and total humility.
Our sovereign God, Emmanuel, as a baby.
He didn't come to heap shame upon sinners or to judge and cast out the impious, but to break bread with those called unrighteous.
He didn't come to illuminate every mystery of the cosmos or to enlighten the intellectual, but to fulfill the testimony of prophets clothed in rags.
He didn't come to elevate a single nation or to advocate a particular political affiliation. He came because he saw you, broken, in need of salvation.
He saw you lost and abandoned, crying out, surrounded by deaf ears, fighting through the tears, but beaten down by the torments of this world.
And unable to bear your distress, he renounced his eternal throne,
walked the earth,
bore the stripes,
accepted the nails,
and gave up his last breath,
so that you could receive the breath of life.
Our holy, infinite God
beheld your pain,
perceived your heart,
and determined that your soul was worth dying for.
From the manger to the cross to the empty tomb,
it is all a story of profound love, of a Savior who rescued his children from darkness,
of a blameless king who declared that no sacrifice was too great for the sake of his beloved creation.
Why did Jesus come to earth?
He came for you.
Hallelujah. So praise God, I love that, hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today. This year, allow God to speak to you. Not to your spouse, not to your children, right? But to you. Don't look to speak, have God speak to you so you can tell someone else. Allow God to speak to you. God, the Holy Spirit has a gift for you this year. His desire is that you would know it, that you would walk in it, that you would grow through it, that you would persevere in it, and that his will, his work, will be done so that generations into the future will be blessed and will be, even remember the sacrifice that you made, and will build on that sacrifice and build on that commitment. So if that's you today, you know, the altars are open, but I just want to close it out in prayer. But just have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week for a Happy New Year. But praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. I usually let worship go, but I'm going to pray out. Sorry. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this this message today, oh Father God. Thank you, Lord, for piercing our hearts, oh Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you did see my pain. You did see our pain. You did see our circumstance. And Lord, you took it upon yourself to be the propitiation for my sins. So Lord God, I ask that even this year, open my eyes, open my ears, open my mind, open our eyes, our ears, our mind this year, so we would see, hear, and comprehend the very gift that you have for each one of us. That we may walk in it, that we may grow in it, that we may endure through it. And that your work, that your name will be glorified in all of that. All right, thank you, and I give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We
Shepherds, why?